To what end, Michael? Like I read about, you know, the notion that we need to, you know, turn to plant-based foods and insect-based protein in the future, and that, you know, meat production and all the cow methane are contributing to the degradation of the environment. But like, what do you see this as a plan, or just as a part of the globalist utopian ideologically blind stupidity? Because, I mean, their farmers do pollute. There is runoff from fertilizer. It does cause algal blooms, for example, in the water. And these are problems. I don't think they're insurmountable problems. But you're pointing to something that's more malevolent and deeper and programmatic. And you know, we don't want to go there without questioning that presumption. I always think if you can explain it with stupidity, you don't have to explain it with malevolence.
Well, as you know, be careful with that one, because sometimes we do have to go to malevolence.
I know we do.
And I watch your show enough to know you know exactly why this is happening. And let's talk about this. If the Dutch farmers, let's take this as a premise, are the most efficient in the world, well, let's just say they're the second most efficient. Why would you knock them out of the saddle to get somebody else to produce the food? Where, Indian farmers? I mean, who's going to produce this food in a much less efficient way that would create even more pollution? This is clearly about control. Also, there's something that you never hear in any press that I've heard in the United States is the tri-state city. Tri-state city is this smart city that they're proposing to build between the tri-states or Belgium, Netherlands, and Germany. So this mega city, basically, that would take up all this farmland in that area and which would bring huge amounts of more people into this area, right? So the tri-state city is something you don't hear much about, but that's another part of this plan. There was a fire about maybe 10 days ago. I went to it right after the next morning, and it's at a picnic distribution center, which is an investment, $600 million into this picnic food distribution center from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, coincidentally, and it burned down, right? And so, you know, that brought a little, you know, raised some eyebrows. Why did that thing just burn down? There's many of them. There's others in Netherlands that are growing. But the bottom line is the Bill and Melinda, or Bill Gates, is buying up farmland, as you know, all over the place.
I know. He is the biggest private landowner in the United States right now, and the land that he's buying up, he's taking out of food production. And it seems to be because he's obsessed about meat production, at least in part, doesn't believe that that's part of a sustainable future. And so, but I do share your skepticism. It's the same thing happens on the bloody energy front. It's like, well, Australia won't build coal-generating electrical plants, but they'll ship their bloody coal to China, where they're going to build much dirtier plants. And the same thing applies to Canada. If we shut down our energy industry, which our bloody, insane, narcissistic, delusional, traitorous prime minister happens to think is a good idea and seems to be working as hard as he can to manage, all that's going to happen is that we're going to cede the ground to people like Putin, who we also turned into a radical enemy with his hands on the control pump for Europe. I mean, I don't see how we could be stupider here in the West if we actually took courses in stupidity and tried as hard as we could. We seem to be doing everything we can to break everything as rapidly as possible. And then I wonder too, you know, has it got to the point where the people who think, you know, that you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs and there's too many people on the planet think that this is some sort of like needle's eye that we have to go through? All this mass starvation and death so that we end up with a sustainable population. I mean, Jesus Christ, that's a dim and grim scenario. But as you said, why would you take the Dutch farmers out of business when they're so unbelievably hyperproductive and efficient? It's just, it's not like there's too much food, especially not if we don't have farmers.
If anything, I would be trying to get a large agricultural institute here in Netherlands to teach other farmers how to be as efficient as Dutch farmers are, replicate these farmers. In Afghanistan, actually, many of the farmers coming over, I was out in the farms quite a lot, were actually Dutch farmers to teach Afghans how to do things better. But the bottom line is, as you can see, there is a huge, I watch you all the time, you know what's happening, there's a huge authoritarian the desire to have a one world order is clearly strong. And this isn't the first time it's happened. As you know, it's a constant in human behavior. And also, as somebody who studies the human psyche a lot, as you do, you realize pulling these farmers off of their traditional farms unroots them. It cuts their anchor, their boat anchor. They're going to be drifting, culturally, so that makes them much easier to... You can't control farmers well. That's why Stalin wanted to get rid of the farmers. You know, Stalin had to get rid of those farmers because farmers have a mind of their own. Same with Mao. You got to get rid of those farmers because they think for themselves. And likewise here, these Dutch farmers think for themselves. And so they're the bad guys. To me, they're the great guys. These are the people
to
defend. That's our backbone. They are our backbone. That's why I flew to Netherlands from Mexico. I mean, that's how important this is.
Okay, so what have you discovered on the ground there? You've been talking to farmers. Tell us, first of all, tell us about how the protests were organized, what their scope is, and what the farmers, why the farmers are doing this and what they hope to accomplish.
Well, the farmers in Netherlands are amazingly cognizant of what's happening. Many people that I talk with around the world don't realize, you know, these other things like the WEF, you know, WEF and these sorts of things. But the Dutch farmers are talking about it in detail. They're like, the nitrogen is nonsense, you know, and it's all about Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates is trying to do this. And they'll go into great detail. They know exactly what's happening. They're trying to take our land because of this, this, and that, and the other. And, you know, they know it. They're not just like in Panama. It's another story. Panama is just like, give us cheap gas, give us cheap cheese, you know, keep, you know, cheap this and cheap that, and we'll go home, right? They're easily satisfied. Not the Dutch farmers. They're more sophisticated. These are serious players here. And again, that's why I jumped on an airplane. If people like this are blocking streets around Netherlands, and we got the German farmers joining up with them, and saw they're blocking the border together, German and Dutch farmers, right? Polish farmers, you know, I love Poland. I spent 2 years there. Polish farmers are making videos in support of Dutch farmers. That's how much is, look, that started in Canada, jumped over to the United States. It's over here now. I mean, it's really growing. This courage is spreading. And so, and you see Italian farmers, Spanish farmers, people are rising up. And the more they realize what's actually happening, because, you know, the man behind the curtain is the WEF, the World Economic Forum. Of course, we're going to have to deal with China. But at this rate, look, if Germany falls from these energy issues, which is looking pretty likely at this point, China is going to peel off the rock too, right? As are we economically, right?
So, for sure. Yeah, we cannot sustain the collapse of Germany. That's absolutely 100% obvious. That would be an utter bloody catastrophe.
If Germany collapses, EU's gone, right? For a while, right? And the EU will probably dissolve. That's my guess. I don't know. We'll see when time unfolds. But obviously, that'll take our economies with it and China, right? And Japan. And of course, Japan imports, 60-70%? All these island nations and island state like Hawaii that import, 90% of their food imported, right? They are going to be in for a world of hurt. Japan imports most of its food. And, you know, some of these countries that I have to, maybe insulted the French for a while years ago and saying, why are they defending all these small farmers all the time? Now I see the French wisdom, you know, these small farmers, that resilience and these small, you know, when you go to France and you go to, I'm sure you've been to France. And their small farmers everywhere provide a great deal of resilience, right? And that's why in Netherlands, if they lose, these farmers are vital for now. They're as important as their army. I mean, without these farmers, you're somebody else's, you're in somebody else's pocket. Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum.